H.O.
What up?
We must be back with a new season, man. 1100 a.m.
That right?
And we got Tiff, Hand in the building, H.O. and Coach. You now about to witness the strength of Sports Talk Radio.
Lego.
I can read your mind, you know it's that time.
Hold up.
Boy, I'm so fly, I feel like Brent Grimes. About to kill the whole season, man. SRT got picks for days. Ain't no telling when I'm all in. Never stall in. Pass the ball in the LBJ. That's the King, fam. Woo. Been ballin' since Space Jam. New logo like the LA Rams. SRT next up. Big dog picks Devin Hester. And that's the word on the street. Tiff got me right like we run in the screen. Real talk, Kane, I know what I mean. We causing the scene. SRT got what you want every week.
I ain't gonna say it.
What up? It's Sports Roundtable, live from the SRT studios, the SRT crew in the building. Thanks for tuning in for another hot episode of Sports Roundtable, the hottest show, sports on radio today. I am your humble host, Mr. H.O. from Bankhead.
Westside, Bankhead, they want fun.
Yeah, as you already know. Great week ahead of us. Sports world is kind of changing since football season, but we're going to keep y'all locked in because there's a lot of stuff going on. Trust me when I tell you. If you want to join the show, please call us 404-603-8770. And we are on AM 1100 Worldwide Radio Network. SRT, call us and get some off your chest. We already got some email bags, questions that I've already got emailed in, and we will be talking about that throughout tonight. Got some hot news coming up in about 2 to 3 minutes. Got a special guest coming in tonight, 92.9's own Deshaun, my main man Tate. He will be in talking college basketball as we are. March 1st is today, so it is March Madness.
March Madness
coming up. So as we went on, our main man Hancock to get in, I am blessed to be with my other main man, and he is 4 champions out of 8, D. Will, the coach.
What's happening there? What up, big H.O.?
What's happening, folks? You doing all right?
I'm Gucci. All y'all don't know what that means, I'm good.
Yes. I hear Winky has made an appearance in Tuscaloosa. Mm-hmm.
that's a move I like.
You like
that? He's a quarterback guru. He's coming on as an analyst, so you know. We might got
something up to sleep. Okay. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Hey, listen, man. We're
since we were playing the fight song.
We're building the staff. Rebuilding the staff, yes, sir.
I see. And, of course, behind the glass, we got my main man, G Money.
Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am.
What up, G?
Yo.
There he is.
Dessert.
And what up the Facebook Live? Bree, I see you. Shea Monet, I see you. Dez, what up, homie? Let me get one of them cigars from you. And I want to thank our sponsors, of course. It's Big Boy Cigars, Jeju's Cars, and, of course, the Big Easy Grill. Well, the shrimp is so good. It's verified. I tell you, it is off the chain. So I think we're going to have a special coming up next week with the Big Easy Grill. If you go to the grill, we'll get 10% off, so we'll make sure we verify that and get that to you. Once again, if you want to reach us, 404-603-8770, and we are on all social media at SRT Radio. Trust me when I tell you that. And if you don't know what this show is about, just check out the shirt. Hey. Our favorite hashtag is We Know Sports. And with that being said, see. Get to that hot news, baby. Let's see what's jumping.
Blazing. Hot, hot, hot. Scorching.
On fire.
Red hot.
This is why I'm hot.
It's the Sports Roundtable Hot News.
Oh, no. No, you didn't, G.
Hey, that's why he the best in the game right now.
That's why he the best in the game.
Hey, that's why he the best in the game right now. Straight off the top.
Straight off the top. I hear you, G.
No hesitation, baby. Hey, you might just want to let this ride for a second.
But the hot news is sponsored by Big Easy Grill. If you're looking for the best New Orleans seafood in town, run over to our friends at the Big Easy Grill, 1193 Collier Road, Atlanta, Georgia. Go to BigEasyGrill.com. The best shrimp in town, and it's verified.
Crab claws.
Number one on the list for the hot news, obviously, would be the injury to KD. Looked kind of bad last night. Saw some tweets this morning that some people were kind of worried.
Mm-hmm.
And come to find out that 4 weeks, he will be reevaluated, a grade 2 MCL sprain with a little bone bruise. Be weird with you. They lucky. They blessed.
They blessed. But it's not going to hurt Golden State as much because they are who they were before they got him. Now, with him, they've been a different animal.
Right.
But now, without him for four to six, they say, but hopefully, of course, he'll probably be back before then. As long as there's no surgery involved, is it?
I don't think so.
Exactly. So if he's able to come back at full strength, he'll fit right back in. Him just getting there this year may make a difference because they don't have a lot of games on the court.
Right.
So this is 4 weeks worth of games that's going away, that's going into the playoff stretch, that it could, but I doubt it.
Now, would or could their number one seed with San Antonio breathing behind their neck, could that be in jeopardy?
Now, that could be in jeopardy, but how much does that actually matter? And I understand home court advantage into the Western Conference playoffs and potentially throughout the entire playoffs, but how much does – I don't put a lot of stock into home court advantage.
You don't?
I really don't, you know, because –
Not even with Golden State?
Of course not with Golden State, because I believe they can win anywhere. I believe they can win anywhere. So, I don't think that's a big deal. If San Antonio ends up getting the first seed and Golden State drops to two, once KD drops back, they're still going to be who they were. So, not a big deal.
So, does Matt Barnes help them? Because I hear they signed Matt Barnes, so could that just...
I was just waiting on you to pitch the question to me. Yes, that helps. Because now you have a Draymond Green times two.
On the wing.
We already know he's a fool.
Right.
Okay? Now, he doesn't have to score buckets for Golden State to win, is the difference. He can go out there and guard the best wing player, give him havoc, be that person out there. Give Draymond a break from having to guard so many positions, because Matt Barnes can go all over the wing from the point all the way down to a pop pick and pop four.
Right.
So he can guard a lot of positions. So with him on the court, and that's a good add-in, missing KD for these next 4 weeks.
I almost sound like it was kind of set up a little bit.
Hey, listen. It's like, hey, man, we're going to sit you down for a second. We're going to let Matt Barnes do this. I don't know, man, but that's a great pickup.
It's probably just a bone bruise to where he would miss a couple of games, but it's like, you know what?
Why chance?
Yeah, let's just take some rest now. We need you for the playoffs. That's going to be the main thing for
him. Yeah. All right, my main man, the sports superhero, just walked in. What's up, Han? You catching a little conversation?
Yeah, I thought a little bit. Can you hear me? Am I on? Turn up my headphones, baby.
There you go.
That's it.
Hi, let me. Atlanta, what's up, baby?
There you go. All right.
All right. Superhero in the building.
Yeah, there you go.
We good.
Yeah,
I was checking y'all coming in. I like the little flow y'all had with that Golden State thing. If you were following me at Superhero SRT, my man, what my handle, G?
.SP.
There it is.
There you go.
Anyway, I kind of let out there a little bit, but I don't think it was set up. But what I do like is Golden State just got tougher.
Oh, ain't no doubt.
That's
no
been
doubt
the thing about it. People said that, you know, they're soft in the middle a little bit. Not really soft, but don't have the bigs to compete.
Mm-hmm.
But the attitude they have now,
mm-hmm.
if you look at the three players they got
Fools.
Draymond, they got David West, and they got
Fools.
They got somebody who will go to battle.
But now, let me add to that just a little bit. I'm going to let you keep
going.
But just to put a little gasoline on that, now LeBron got somebody who can irritate him.
Yeah, no doubt, because he's not afraid.
He's not.
Matt Barnes will fight his shot. And that's for sure. I mean, that's the thing. He went at Kobe and then went and played with him. It don't matter.
Yeah,
but if he's like, he and Russell Westbrook, or as my man Magic said, what's a Westbrook? They got the same kind of mentality. Either you with me or you against me.
Exactly. Right.
And that's the thing about Matt Barnes getting there. I think that helps because, like I said, Draymond has to be the dog all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But they just got another dog on the team. Now, that's not to say that they're going to be able to compete with what LeBron and them have done, because I think the Cavs have done some things. You and I talk.
Right.
And I think that they, for the first time to me in 3 years, because I myself personally, I felt like Golden State should have beat them the first year.
I do too.
I felt like they should have beat them last
year. I do
too. And until these moves were made recently, I thought they had them this year. But I do like the depth if everybody comes back for the Cavs, because you're going to have Shumpert, you're going to have JR, you got Derek Williams, who plays. He's one of those players that
swing
now
player.
He got a big brother now.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? LeBron elevates everybody else. So they have wings now that can attack.
All right, we're going to get to some more basketball later on in the first hour, but let's move on to our second one. Second question is, that's actually burning hot right now is Eric Berry and Antonio Brown just signed for record deals. D. Will, who is more deserving if there is a such?
Well, it's hard to say which was more deserving because both of them were
well-deserved.
Well-deserved, both right. of them. But if I had to choose one, I'm going the story sounds good. Yeah. But I'm Antonio Brown.
Right. He's closer to the Super Bowl.
Listen, for what round was he drafted?
I think he was like a 6th or 7th round.
Okay, thank you. for him to go from where he came from to where he is today
right.
and be the player that is arguably 1B in the NFL, you know, he's top three.
No
you know, when you say the best receivers in the league, you're going to go Julio, Antonio, Beckham.
And whoever else.
And Beckham. You got to put Beckham in there, Beckham. And then you can go whoever else.
Right.
All right. So my thing is, for him to do what he's done, he deserves that money. Now, got a caveat. He has to calm himself. He's already a social media garden tool.
Mm-hmm.
Now that he's overly rich, he was rich, but now he is overly rich. So now that he's overly rich, how will he take it? Where's his attitude go? Where's his, because I don't think Antonio Brown's a locker room person, but a locker room killer, but I think he's annoying. You know what I mean?
For
other players, he might just rub people the wrong way because he does too much. He's one of those like the Betty had pulling up in a Bentley with the Rose with the he's just over extra. The top. Yeah, he's extra. So
well, he's a receiver.
And so when you get
receiver.
Money, what do? You get extra, extra.
Exactly.
So let's see where you take it.
All right. So alongside that, there were some cuts that were made. Notable cuts.
Mm-hmm.
Adrian Peterson. Charles from KC, and just recently Revis Island.
Well, everybody been taking a residence on the island. So that was not exclusive anymore. You know, people were coming and going to Revis Island at their convenience.
Yeah, exactly. It was
so
open season.
That didn't matter.
That didn't matter. So which are you surprised more about? Which out of the three that are notable is... This is more like a Nick Fole, the kicker from the Jets.
Yeah, of course.
I mean,
he's a kicker.
I mean, I kind of expected Revis because of the little drama and trouble that he had, plus his on field stuff. I think that would have been overlooked.
Four charges that he's got to face.
That would have been overlooked, though, if Revis Island was still Revis Island.
Right.
But with him not being able to, you know, garner what he had in the past,
exactly.
I think that's, you know, that's the reason that's done. You said Lorenzo, Charles from Kansas City. The injuries, I mean, they mounted up, and they were able to still get to the playoffs
right.
with the running back by committee that they had. So, you know, he was expendable. So, he kind of expected that. And you said AP has had a problem not staying healthy.
Same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, and that, you know, he's a dinosaur when you look at running backs. That's not the wave of what the NFL does right now is to have a lead dog at running back. You normally have a guy that's serviceable or that can carry the load with help.
And unfortunately, he can't catch.
Exactly. And he doesn't do those other things. Exactly. So, you know, I can't say I'm surprised about any of these moves because I think it's just the nature of the business.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, he catches on to a team that has a shot at getting a title.
Green Bay.
Green Bay, places like that. But then you hear about they run a West Coast offense. How will he fit in there? Because we just got through saying he doesn't catch the ball.
Right.
You know, and that's the thing. I mean, Lacy.
He's not a third down back.
He's not a third down back. And Lacy's all, you know, I mean, he's really not thrived because he's not really a West Coast back. Mm-hmm. He's a back needs the ball.
Right.
So I don't know if that's a fit for him.
Tampa
you
Bay?
Know? Tampa Bay possibility.
Because they say
a possibility.
The hamster may be in the next wave of cuts.
Right.
Yeah, he is.
$7.5 million.
He's gone. And you can bank on that.
But the thing is, now will AD take a lesser amount of money because that's what it's going to take now? People not going to pay him.
Oh, he's going to have. Now, he has to understand. Exactly. If he doesn't understand that, he's going to be out of the league.
Exactly. So he has to understand that. But, I mean, we're only, what, a bad knee injury away from him getting on to a quality team.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it happens. Mm-hmm. An injury in there, you know, in off season.
He would really help Tampa Bay.
Right, because he's not going to go to have a training camp anyway. When you're a vet like that, you're not looking to go to training camp.
No, not at all.
So he'll stay in shape. We know. He's constantly in shape. If you look at him, he's always in shape. So we know that. That's not going to be an issue. Okay. So I think he'll catch on, especially somewhere. You know?
All right, our next story, YD, we'll take a break. The MLB spring training has started, which means that the Atlanta Braves are starting. And the question is, what are you looking to most? Or what are you looking forward to the most with the Braves this season? And I guess since I'm the biggest Braves fan in here, I can go ahead and answer that for you.
Yeah, you can.
I want to see Freddie. Freddie had a hurt thumb last year and still hit 30 home run.
Check.
I want to see if he can duplicate that. I'm interested to see how Swanson, that's Dansby, the shortstop, adjust to the number two spot. And see if he could actually win Rookie of the Year. Wanted to see.
Don't just gloss over that. Explain to people how he can still be Rookie of the Year.
Hey, listen.
And he played last year.
Thank you. I was about to ask the same question. I'm sitting here looking at him like, Rookie of the Year, he got called up.
Well, there's a certain amount of games you have to play
in each season
before you are qualified as, and he didn't meet that requirement last year. So he can actually.
How many games did he play?
Like 60, 100 or something.
If he played like 30 games, that doesn't count.
Right.
That's like a third of the season.
No.
They play 162 games. Oh, so it's like 20%.
I always found that strange.
Yeah, it is. Like, yeah. So, I mean.
It's almost like a red shirt year.
Exactly. Yeah. We're going to practice for
a coach. Super red shirt.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't think I guess we can look at it. I think he played less than 50 games. So, Brandon Phillips coming back home, of course, giving Ozzie Albies a chance to get healthy in the minor leagues and to see what kind of pop he brings and what kind of leadership. I think the Braves up the middle can possibly be one of the best defensive teams in the league. And what I mean up the middle, the catcher, they got Kurt Suzuki, who actually can throw out runners. Dansby is short, Phillips at second, and Enciarte in center, who's actually won the Gold Glove last year. So, and with Nick Markakis getting stronger, little that I know that the SunTrust Park gap alleys are actually shorter. It's 375 instead of 395 in the alleys, which helps Markakis and Freeman.
Yeah, they're going to be parking in the alley, though. No parking. No, I'm serious, man. It's just, I think the Braves, they need something to kickstart them. I do like Brandon coming home.
Right.
And I think I would have liked to seen it about 5 years ago. That's the thing.
There was some rumors saying that he didn't want to come.
But, you know, at least he's here now, new ballpark, new attitude with everything going. So we'll see it. And it gives you a little more veteran leadership.
Exactly.
And clubhouse. I like that.
All right. So with the Rookie of the Year, the standard is for a position player 130 at bats. Dansby Swanson had 129.
Barely. Stop it, man. Stop it.
They knew what they were doing.
It's crazy.
Are you serious?
It's crazy.
That's the standard. 130 at-bats from September. Well, it says from September 1st of the previous year.
Right.
He got to the team on, I think it said August 17th. So if it was 130 bats before September 1st, which wasn't going to happen. So either way, he is technically still a rookie.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something I just figured out. The whole time Dansby Swanson was down, and everybody's like, why don't you bring him up? Why don't you bring him up? And when he got up, he wasn't an everyday player. So they're like, why don't you give him the at-bats? Let him go out and face those top pitchers. Why are you sitting him against the – we see why. They want a rookie of the year in the new stadium.
That, along with baseball, can hold you like they did
Chris Bryant.
Bryant, if they would have brought him up
at the beginning of the season,
he would have had a chance to go and have a contract year earlier.
Exactly. Right.
So what they do is it's a business decision.
Mm-hmm.
So now they got the MVP of the league another two years or so?
Yeah.
Under that same contract. Yep. And he can't
get out.
Yeah. So baseball has these.
They saved themselves 2 years
with holding him down.
Just holding him down for 2 weeks.
One at bat. You don't think they was like, hey, he had 129 at bats.
But they still won the World Series, so they straight. All right, our last thing is the NFL Combine started Tuesday. Beware, which player are you most interested in the most to either move up or move down?
I'm going to tell you, this player, I've been down on him from the beginning. But the hype around him was so big, and it's confusing to me to where he's falling right now. And that's Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey, now, he is the only player that has taken a hit because he skipped the bowl game. Now, he was never a surefire first rounder. All right? He was considered. He was overly hyped in college. But now they're understanding that, can he be an every down back?
No.
And the question is, and the answer is no to that. So we all understand that. So now that he's there, the combine, I think they run when tomorrow.
I think they're on the field for the first day tomorrow.
Yeah, they're on the first day field for the first day tomorrow. If he goes out and runs a sub 4.4, does he now boost back up and he's now all of a sudden now it's, because it, his counterpart Leonard Fournette, who also skipped the bowl game, is a surefire first rounder and is taking no backlash. Because he skipped the bowl game. But the narrative around Christian McCaffrey right now is he's taking backlash for skipping the game and not being on the field to show and prove.
I think that's backlash, but I think Reggie Bush is a backlash also.
Gotcha.
Because you're looking at Reggie Bush again.
Exactly.
So, and what did Reggie Bush do in the league? Yeah, he had some flashes, had some, but he wasn't the franchise player.
Like they thought he was. He was the number two.
Exactly. Well, Tim gave us the stat.
So she killed it.
4 yards for the year?
Yeah.
Was it a negative 4 yard?
It was like -3 yards.
-3 yards for the whole year?
So, and that's the thing. But I will tell you this. If you put him with the right situation, Mr. Belichick, let him fall to him.
Yeah, exactly.
I promise you, mm-hmm. it will be a problem.
Yeah.
I promise you that.
Yeah.
But the thing, you know, McCaffrey, the thing is, you said the speed. But if he shows he can catch also, which we know he can. But when,
punt return, kick return.
Special teams, exactly.
So.
Yeah. All right, so before we go to commercial break, before we end this, I do want to say this. There's a lot of mock drafts out, and I'm sure D. Will has been entertaining himself throughout the week with them. And several mock drafts have Atlanta drafting Jabril Peppers. I've seen that. Now, he's 6'1", 205. I'm interested to see. The over-under for his 40 time is 4.37. If he runs a 4.37 or less, can he be your Earl Thomas free safety in the back with that speed at 6'1", 205? Can you imagine a Peppers and Neal combo in the backfield?
That's nasty. I wouldn't put it past. There's one thing I do give my man credit for. His defense, don't tell me, they weren't just spectacular or anything. But you could see that Remnants. It's starting to get better.
Yes.
And that just needs to, you know, put more players around.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Peppers to me, I think he's one of those players that's a game changer. And that's what I think you need. When you can score in situations that you don't normally score in or – at least get the ball turned over short fields for your offense. We've seen the potent offense that the Falcons have.
Right.
If he's able to change field position, score, do those type of things, you got to get that type of player, man.
And exactly. And that's one thing Atlanta is missing, is a dynamic kick returner in both punt and kickoff, because we know what Weems is. Weems is Mr. Fair Catch.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and Mr. Run It Out.
Exactly. Yeah. He might
to get the 10-yard line with anyway.
What used to happen when, you know, we were around here when Deion was here.
Yeah.
You didn't even get up for defense. When defense went on the field, you didn't leave because you knew Prime might do something.
Exactly.
So that's the thing. We already know on offense that offense – Julio garners that kind of attention. You say you might see something special. You see, you put Peppers out there on returns and in defensive situations, and even might be play him on offense a little bit.
Exactly.
Hey, now, gimmick.
Wild card.
That's
wild
what I'm
card,
saying.
Wild card.
Is if he runs 4.335 or anything close.
Oh, man, he ain't finna run that. He run 4.35.
He's 205,
bro.
D.
Yeah, if he run 4.35, bro. But here's the other thing.
I mean,
if he run 4.35, he's not falling to Atlanta. That's what I'm saying. If he goes out and run 4.35, he's not going to be there for Atlanta in the late first round. Okay? Now, if he runs his 4.37, 4.38, like he's projected to run, like I always said, he's going to fall. But if he goes out and run a sub 4.35, 4.32, man, come on. Stop it.
Yeah. Well, he's missing the Earl Thomas. He's missing that guy in the back.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
You gave up on Poole?
That was Allen. Ricardo.
Yeah, Rico.
Yeah.
I like Rico.
I mean, an upgrade. He can't return kick.
Yeah, he can't do that.
Yeah. He punts either, so.
Killer.
All right, man. That's it for the hot news. We're going to take a real quick commercial break. When we get back, we got the Sports Roundtable discussion and email bags. And I got my main man, Deshaun, coming up the second hour, man. Keep it locked, Sports Roundtable. We in here.
Are you thinking about changing the station? You're only hurting yourself. Keep listening to Sports Roundtable on 1100 AM.
Kind of comfort that's unique to you. Serta did. The Serta iComfort Hybrid Sleep System. The first hybrid mattress that combines the support of our most advanced coils with the comfort of our premium gel memory foam. For comfort that cradles, supports, and cools you. The iComfort Hybrid Sleep System. Find a retailer near you at Serta.com. Serta. Always comfortable.
There's a lot going on in the world, and your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news, the latest entertainment, the newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand, wherever you are, with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country, and over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
Sports Roundtable.
Whoever discontinued Save-A-Lots. Those are the shortbread cookies with the chocolate on the back, the extra big ones used to say Save-A-Lot. Yeah. Whoever discontinued that, I'm going to take your badge.
Mm.
All y'all little Girl Scouts selling them cookies on the corner. I'm going to walk up and I'm going to take your badge if you ain't got no Save-A-Lots. I'm going to kick your table over. I'm going to crush your Thin Mints. I'm going to lick all the coconuts off your Samoas. Get my doggone Save-A-Lots back. Get them. Get me my Save-A-Lots.
Only on 1100 AM, the Worldwide Radio Network. The Roundtable Discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it!
We're back. What's up, Dom, on Facebook Live? Sports Roundtable Discussion is sponsored by Jay's Used Cars. If you're looking for a used, pre-owned, or a new car, please contact Jay's at 770-496-0339. Mention SRTO, Sports Roundtable, to get a 10% discount on your down payment. Go to jaysusedcars.com website for your inventory. Check him out. I think he got a 500 Benz S500 on the lot.
S550?
Yes, 550. Yeah. It is a 550, yeah.
I can't afford that.
Yeah. A lot of good cars, so maybe I need to do a car the week.
I wonder if he'll give me a discount.
Ha! That's easy.
Yeah.
All right. A lot of injuries going on. We talked about Durant earlier, you know, in the hot news. Now we probably see why Okafor never got traded. The Philadelphia Sixers knew something that we didn't know. And that is, news came out today that Embiid is out for the season. And then we go to Toronto. As they improve their team, Lowry goes out. And he's out for, 8 weeks?
Mm-hmm. So did he got hurt before the All-Star game?
Yes. He actually was hurt during the game. He was playing through it.
He was hurt before the All-Star game. Then he played in the game.
Right.
And he didn't come back.
Maybe why he was shooting the curveball. He was shooting curveballs in the three-point.
Sure didn't look good.
Yeah. So, I know the Sixers are not as relevant.
I told you about that squad, though. When we talked about the young teams and their rosters, I like their roster a lot. I really do.
Even with Embiid out?
Even with Embiid out. You see the way they play. If you watch them and if you watch the way they play, and if you keep up with the box scores like I do because of FanDuel, every night they put an effort up that they play people. I don't care who it is. And they beat teams.
All right. Well, let me ask you this then. Which injury affects – which team the most?
Between you're not talking about Durant.
Embiid and Lowry.
Okay. Lowry. I mean, because Philly is not going anywhere this year.
Yeah, competitor. Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, it's definitely Toronto with Lowry.
Because they got, they had a shot to get the number one seed.
How bad is the injury? I mean, he's out the rest of the year, right? So, will he be back for the playoffs?
They predicted what, 6 to 8?
6 to 8. See, so, what you got on that?
I'm still looking at it.
Okay,
it's a wrist injury, so it's
right. But I mean, with the backup guard,
Corey Joseph
plays well enough for them to tread water and stay relative for the playoffs. As far as making them have a decent run in the playoffs and a chance, I don't think so.
Yeah.
But at least he keeps him. That's why I want to know, is Lowry going to be back in time to, you know, for the playoff run?
I'm going
to
tell you why it hurts him more than anything. Because the resurgence of the Cleveland Cavaliers. They got so much better. Because when Toronto went and made the trade for Ibaka, we were like, this makes them a lot better. They may now compete with that Cleveland team. But now with the additions of Deron Williams, a steady-handed point guard, when now you can play Kyrie off the ball and let him go.
He's Kobe now.
Exactly. When LeBron goes out, you can put the ball in Deron Williams' hand, and you can let him play off, and he can go. And that's a former number one pick who is not a slouch. With him being released, people are like, that's Bogut. Bogut is still a very good, formidable big man in the league. On good teams, exactly. Yeah. He's not going to give you 15 and 10 a night.
Right.
But he's going to give you hard minutes. He's going to give you good rebounding. And he's going to make somebody mad. But LeBron is not coming in free.
But why couldn't he get run with Dallas? What was the issue? Is it just the styles?
They're not a good team.
Yeah, they're just not a good team.
Yeah.
They're bad. You see, they just gutted everything. They got rid of Justin Anderson, who they gave up on after just 1.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
They got rid of these two, obviously, Deron Williams and Bogut. So they're going nowhere.
Where's Dallas in the standings right now?
Dead last, if not very close.
I think they're competing for an 8-7-8 spot, aren't they?
Hey, G, tell us about Lowry if you got any information on Lowry.
Okay, well, first with Lowry, he's going to be out 4 to 5 weeks, projection. There's about 6 weeks left in the season, so he may come back before then. Dallas is 2.5 back of the last playoff spot.
Yeah, see, I know they're in the last spot.
How many – like what numbers does the last playoff spot go down to? It's probably the rest of the West. You know what I'm saying?
It's Denver. Denver's right there.
Denver's the last spot. Sacramento is 2 games back, and then Portland and Dallas are tied.
Portland that bad?
See, that's what I'm saying.
Oh my God. They fell all the way off.
That's what I'm saying. So if Dallas has a chance to make the playoffs, they had Bogut.
They had a chance.
So what I'm saying is I didn't understand. What was it? It has to be something else. That either he didn't want to be around.
It might be money.
Could be the style, I think.
Yeah, it must be.
To buy somebody out, you know, when you buy somebody out in the NBA, it's usually about
cash.
Well,
they traded him. He's buying his way out of Philly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that's the same thing. They had Philly and them made a deal too.
Well, they may have wanted to get a little more athletic inside. That's why they got Nerlens Noel. And
but you got rid of Justin Anderson, your young wing.
I had a question for you. Now, I guess about 2 years ago when we would, I guess we said we were still in the Negro League. We're back on in a podcast.
Hey, man, the Negro League was good.
I know, but I'm just saying, you know, Jackie Robinson tried to get us in the pro. In
there
the
you go.
But you and I both like Harrison Barnes for the Hawks. With the way his game has turned up now, were we wrong? Would he have been a good Hawk?
He would have, but not for that money.
Okay. I mean, look at his numbers. Harrison Barnes averaging almost, 27 points a game? 25, 27 points a game?
Like, balling.
Balling. I mean, seriously,
balling. Like, he's the player that...
20,
25,
24?
20
and 5 rebounds.
25,
okay. Or
20
and 5.
I'm thinking about FanDuel, boy, my bad. Because okay. I know I'm FanDuel, hey, he's killing.
Yeah.
And he puts up 30 on some nights. Not FanDuel, I mean, seriously, scoring points.
Exactly.
And playing in a better conference than the East.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, he's the go-to. He's the go-to guy there.
Yeah, yeah, right.
He would have been decent.
Especially in this system. Let's
that's my plan.
You don't think he could have got 20 in this system?
Yeah.
As bad as we are from the wings.
But if you were going to give $70 million to this dude.
Bozeman. How much did Harrison got
the max.
Yeah, he got the max.
He got 100, right?
Yeah, but I was talking about before that, you know, but this was before the explosion.
Right.
Me and you were talking about before the explosion of money.
But I don't know.
They
need a wing.
Yes, they do.
But they had to pay him by now, though. So.
Yeah, but Jonathan Simmons would be afraid.
As my boy said at work the other day, he said, I see better wings than ever be.
You like Jonathan Simmons that much that you mentioned him?
Yeah.
You like him that much? Harrison Bond.
Yeah, that's all. He better than anybody on the whole scene right now.
How much you'll pay him?
I won't have to get in the max.
Nowhere near.
Yeah.
Like
3 for 30.
Nah, he might get used to it.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
3 for 12 or something.
I like that 30 better.
Let's talk about Shaq and JaVale.
Oh, God.
Is everybody at TNT just running off at the mouth? It's everybody at TNT got the diarrhea in the mouth?
Ratings.
Look, man, I think it's a lot of hate because of the money these cats make, man. The basketball players.
Shaq is worth $350 million.
Shaq don't care about money.
Yeah, so that can't be you.
No. But when Shaq was playing, people now making his salary over and over and over when Shaq was playing.
Yeah,
Shaq is a pitch man now.
Yeah.
But I'm saying when you look at people that are making the kind of money they're making and they're averaging 4 points a game, and I think that has a lot to do with the salt that these big-time players do. Just like they crapped all over Steph all the time. Same thing. It's the same thing with JaVale. It's the same thing with Durant. It's like, y'all just getting blessed with all this money, and y'all wasn't good as we were. That's what it is.
Well, let's get to this then. So, Shaq just keeps running these Shaq and the Fool, you know, comic relief videos about McGee.
Right.
Who is a journeyman, obviously. And, you know, and it just keeps going and going. And McGee's mother said now that Shaq need to lose his job. So my question is, as a grown man playing in the NBA, having your own career, should you keep your parents out of your business in this case?
Well, the parents were interjected into the business because a reporter went out. I can't remember his name. He went out and interviewed both Shaq's mom. This is the cat who wrote Shaq's autobiography, matter of fact.
Okay.
So he went out and interviewed Shaq's mom because he knows her. And then he went out and interviewed JaVale's mother. Okay. So during this interview, he was expecting them to be motherly and be like, hey, yeah, we're going to leave it alone. There's no need for it. That's what Shaq's mom did. JaVale's mom went out and made all these statements that you now can see. So,
well, that's her baby.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, let's just be real. You talk about my baby. I don't care how, if he can grow to be 8 feet tall, she still sees him as her baby.
Yeah, and I understand that. But I don't think he interjected his mom. I think
she interjected
herself. Yeah. Exactly. That's like you outside fighting and mama come outside and get into it. You like, mama, leave me alone.
Yeah.
You know, so
But I think part of it is that, you know, the segment took off because of JaVale McGee.
Now
he's not making as many bad
bonehead
plays.
He really is.
But yeah. You could watch that segment a couple times, and I don't know if it's Shaq's idea, but they kind of like force JaVale McGee.
They
just force a bad play. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, he missed a shot, or it was a bad foul or something. But make it to be bigger than what it was, because that's what people are looking for. They're watching that segment. Yeah. Oh, what did JaVale McGee do this time?
I agree. He's the poster child for the whole show. Yes. He is.
It kind of reminds me of the Jamie Foxx roasting of the host of that comedian song. I can't remember his name. Dude was the host, but Jamie Foxx roasted this dude.
He wasn't even supposed to roast him.
Exactly. He just went. I don't know.
Oh, man.
The guy, but it was so embarrassed. I mean, I know dude was just like, oh, my God. I mean, so I think Shaq is getting a little bad.
Man, it is what it is, man. That's Shaq's position now. That's his job. Shaq doesn't say much if you watch the show. He sits up there and he gives his opinion. But his where he gets off is his Shaqed in the Fool segment. So that's when he goes in.
Yeah.
So
unfortunately,
they need ratings. But that's right. his job now.
And the thing about the TNT show, which is very entertaining or whatever, but it has blurred the lines from a show of analyzing basketball to being almost a comedy show.
Yeah.
It's almost like a sitcom, not sitcom, but a late night TV show.
Yeah.
That's what it's become.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ernie will be trying to keep the show on the road, and Kenny and Shaq and Charles, they'll be busting each other, talking or whatever over him. So it's become something that it's grown into a life of its own.
A Hollywood production.
Yeah, that's what it was. It's not even about analyzing basketball, especially when you say, oh, why are we even watching this game? So you see what I'm saying? So it's a different type of vibe now.
And they also create ratings, create ratings with when they're saying something about a player, if it's a former player being critical of a current player, it's going to draw interest. Like you had earlier with Barkley and LeBron, and now with Shaq and JaVale. I don't know if Kenny Smith has had any kind of conflict with any players. Not that I know off the top of my head. But
Kenny, I don't think Kenny really doesn't go at people. He'll kind of side with Shaq or on some stuff or Charles, but he doesn't single people out the way
Kenny's smart.
Charles does. This to me, Shaq really doesn't normally, except for Dwight.
Yeah.
He was really the only
person. You know the disdain there. So
he was really the only person that he ever went at. The JaVale thing, I kind of think, just got blown out of proportion.
Yeah. Speaking of parents, LaVar Ball, Lonzo Ball's father, is in the news
again,
making two statements, and then he moonwalked on the last statement. First, my son is better than Steph. And if you replace my son on Golden State, see what happens. Then he said, well, he ain't gonna play for nobody but the Lakers. Then a day later, I guess he did the Michael Jackson stuff, moonwalking on that statement. So when is a parent supposed, I mean, there's got to be a line somewhere which you draw or attention to put pressure on your kids or not to put pressure on your kids.
Well, the thing what I see, and I do agree with something I heard today, is that he's done this probably at every level. And every level they've succeeded. So him trying to make his son, right now his son's a household name.
Check that.
Everybody knows these balls because of the way, the three balls kid, the three ball kid. I guess that's going to be a drop.
There's going to be another drop.
Back out.
What he's done is made his kids a household name. So it's just like Venus and Serena. When Venus' dad got up and said, my daughters are going to dominate this sport, and they did it. What can you say now? Tiger Woods' dad did the same thing. He trumpeted his son and said that his son will have more influence on whatever and be this, and he became that. Now,
if ball doesn't live up to it, then there might be a problem. But like I said, at every level, he's probably been the best all through middle school, high school, and the first year of college. He's the name, one of the biggest names, top two, top three player to come out and get drafted this
year.
What's
interesting about that is that he says that LaMelo Ball, the youngest one, is going to be better than Lonzo Ball.
Yeah, even if that's not true, I'd say it.
I would too if I had
because
that.
Because you got to keep him coming down the line.
I think the key thing is like he's thinking big for his sons. Like, okay, if they're all this talented and you know they work this hard, and we can control as a family our destiny as far as what our careers are going to be, what our branding is going to be. And I think this is just a step that he's taken. I mean, I think he does like talk too much.
But think about this.
He does
think about
talk
it.
Too much though.
Related to this. Take all the way back to Joe Jackson. What he was doing?
He was whooping Mike.
Listen, whooping and pudding. They were out there singing. This is the best group in the world. Every momager, air quotes, every parent that promotes their child and reps for their child, that's what they gonna say. Justin Bieber mama had him on all them videos. She went everywhere saying, my son is the next. So what else was he gonna say? Yeah, Lonzo good and the rest of them, they all right. Exactly. All my kids one and done.
Well,
and it's gonna rub some people the wrong way.
Exactly,
the,
a lot.
LaMelo is the one LaMelo is the one that, for 92, right?
Yeah, he went for 92.
Well, he actually missed 23s first round of playoffs, and they lost. Yeah.
Hey, listen.
But he already got his full ride to UCLA.
Oh,
right?
Y'all.
He missed 92. Don't mind.
Listen. Not only did he miss 20, him and the brother combined to go 13 of 46.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
They lost to
Matter Day.
Yeah, that has Manute Bol's son on there.
Yeah, Bobo.
Bobo. Yeah, Bobo got some game, though.
Wow. Right. So, I mean, like I said, it is what it is. If you're going to heap all this praise on these, he's supposed to soak it up and do it. I would be upset. I'm not even say upset, but I'd be rubbed more the wrong way if the kids were out thumping their chest.
They don't say
but
a word.
They don't say a word. Yeah. He's doing all that. He's taking all that, and it's making it easier for them. Just they say, I just play ball.
Exactly.
And that's probably what he's telling them. You just do you. I got this other stuff.
Yeah. So he's doing
the crazy like a fox.
Exactly. Yeah. Let me self promote.
That's it.
So got an email back question. Speaking of shooting threes, Steph Curry is 2 for 20 in the last two games. Are we worried at any point that this could linger? Maybe
another game,
2 weeks or a week.
I would if he didn't do any other things to affect the game. But Steph does more. He steals, strips, steals, assists, gets people the ball, gets some shots, and then his presence on the floor opens the floor.
And he can still get to the basket. So it's not like he's not
scoring. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, he's still getting his 20.
But who would have ever? Would you ever even put money 0 for 11 for Steph?
Well, not. No, and we know what kind of shooter he is. So this may just be, I don't even want to call it a slump, you know?
It's just
may
two
be,
games.
Exactly. He may.
I think, yeah.
He may, his mentality may be different. Let me approach the game differently. Now, he's still taking the shots. Of course, he still took 11 threes and missed all of them. But.
What do shooters do?
Hey, listen, how you gonna make one if you don't shoot it? You're going to miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So.
I'm not worried. I
me either.
Let him shoot.
Shoot.
I mean, he's got to shoot. That's what he does.
Has OKC gotten better with the additions of Gibson and McDermott? Another email back question.
Yeah, they improved, but to improve to what?
They got more depth.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That they improved as a team. Now we're still waiting on Doug McDermott to be Creighton.
McBuckets.
What's it called? Dougie McBuckets.
Dougie McBuckets.
We're waiting on that. Can he do it?
He got closer to the way he played college ball.
I think he'll be a good sixth man on this team. But I don't think, like, well, adding them, they are better. But still, the issue, you traded your backup point guard, and now it's going to be
and your Russell. Pregame dancer.
Yeah. Oklahoma City apparently saw that as a problem.
Yeah.
So now it's going to be Russell with the ball in his hands all the time. And the last couple of games, he's had like 8-9 turnovers. And that can't happen too consistently if they're going to do anything.
And they knew they had to get rid of Cameron Payne because they were going to have to pay him. Because he is a hot commodity in the NBA. Like, the Bulls went after him.
Why, though?
I don't know.
He said, why, though?
Listen. I'm just telling you what.
Maybe they thought they could get rid of Rondo at the time.
Yeah, because Rondo was on the chopping blocks, on the trading blocks, and I'm surprised they didn't release him. But
Cameron Payne, to me, I don't see it, man.
I don't either. I see Mario Chalmers.
Yeah. I don't even know if it's that. Maybe the kid. What was the other guard that
you don't
came,
think he could be that good?
Came out of Murray State.
He came out of Murray State.
But the one
you
may
be talking about Eric Maynor out of Virginia Commonwealth.
No. He talking about I know you talking about.
Me too.
He had a few little
Kanan. Isaiah Kanan.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically, you know, that's what they are.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, Cameron Payne's more of a point guard. You know, he can construct the offense, he can get people involved. Isaiah Kanan was just he's a poor man's Nate Robinson. You're going to put him in to score.
When he gets, if he warm.
Exactly. If he gets hot, he can shoot it.
Yeah,
Cameron
agree.
Payne is more of a point guard.
Yeah, he's more of a scorer. Definitely, Kanan is definitely more of a scorer.
But they were the same size. They came from the same school.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand why Chicago sought after him.
That's what
we're because, listen, they gave up Taj Gibson, who was a veteran on their team and played well.
I just think
he wasn't going to resign, though.
I understand that, too. We understand and then you give up your last year's first round pick. You giving up on him already?
Yeah.
So that's a lot to give up for
Cameron Payne. I agree.
They might like Bobby Portis better.
Well, he's coming up. He's going to have to
shine. I thought he would be farther along this year.
Well, and playing behind Taj Gibson may be the reason why he's not.
Maybe so.
Last email back question of the night. Well, this segment. I'm sure y'all are like this. It's who you taking? DeMar DeRozan, Klay Thompson.
Klay.
It's a wash to me.
Yeah, it is.
I think Klay plays better defense. And he shoots right with more range.
Exactly.
But I think, DeRozan can get you 30.
Every night. Yeah.
I mean.
He's a beast.
What I've seen from Klay goes in, Klay's mentality to me is not that of a star.
Well, come on with it, man. Tell me.
I mean, I'm just being honest with you. I don't think his mentality is what it needs to be. I think he's, you know what I'm saying? He's when you look at him, he's just.
Is that because of where he is, though? Now, think about the atmosphere in which he plays in.
I just don't think.
Do you think he fits in more? But
if it was his own team, he would not. I don't think he would.
If he got the opportunity of a Harrison Barnes, you don't think he would give you 27 a night?
I think he and the kid at Phoenix are the same.
Devin Booker.
Yeah, I think they both got that
Booker's,
kind of mentality.
I think Devin Booker's more of a killer.
I
do.
I don't see.
He's only 20.
I know.
He's not even 21.
But. You killers come into the league as killers.
And he is, though.
You see what I'm saying? I mean,
he is. You don't think he's.
Killers are Kobe. Killers are Russell. Mentality is different. Well,
he's more athletic. I think he's more athletic.
DeRozan's not that, though.
But DeRozan can be I believe he can lead it, can be the man on the team. I think Lowry kind of holds that thing. He tries to.
Go back and forth.
Similarly, if he would have gone to L.A.,
Let's say this.
He would have been the man at L.A.
I know G can look it up while we're talking. But what is Klay Thompson's career averages in that system playing third fiddle?
Oh, no doubt.
He still gets his. Just imagine if he was able to get a third more of those shots. Or if the offense actually ran through him. I believe he could be that. He may be temperamental, but I believe he could be. I'm not saying he's better than DeRozan, but if you just gave me the one or two pick at the two, I'm taking him.
All right, so Klay Thompson, he Well, he's averaging 22 this year. He's averaged 18 for his career. His scoring average has gone up for every year of his career.
So, and I'm pretty sure DeRozan's numbers are comparable, but I'm sure a lot less. And he's been in a lot less shots. You see where I'm coming from? He's been more of a – DeRozan's been that guy since he got to Toronto. Klay still has never been that guy.
I think what happens is, first, DeRozan don't even shoot three.
Exactly. So he's average. Like so the numbers are skewed. Huh? He plays like Dwayne Wade.
Exactly. So he can get you 28 without even shooting three.
And you don't even know he got it.
And this is what the thing is. The thing is this. If you had a go-to person, at least we know DeRozan can put the ball on the ground.
And go get it.
And go get you
go
a bucket.
He can go to the
Not that he can't, but we don't know for sure.
He got 30, he got all them shots, and he took what, four dribbles when he scored? How many?
11.
Klay.
11 dribbles.
So that's 16. What I'm saying.
Yeah, he 11 dribbles. We don't DeRozan know for
hey,
sure if he
hey, can. DeRozan go get hey, listen, you. I understand, and I agree with what you're saying, because y'all know I'm an advocate of having somebody who you can give the ball to, get out the way, and say, go get it.
Right.
But my thing is, if I can get 60 and taking 11 dribbles, I don't need to dribble.
But you need Steph to do that.
You need somebody to get you the ball.
Exactly.
But I'm saying, if he's playing with a Kyle Lowry type, who he can just come off screens, who's going to get him the rock.
I feel you. I understand what you're saying. I'm not arguing that point. I see. But I want to say, okay, we coming down, isolate, get him the rock. Everybody get out of the way. Go
now,
get your.
Okay, now let's flip it around. Do you think DeRozan would have thrived in Golden State the way Klay has?
He still would have had more space to get to the basket.
You think so?
I don't think the offense would have fit him.
Exactly.
That's the only thing.
Yeah. But, you know, it's apples and oranges. Right. Yeah, I understand.
But even finishing around the rim a lot of times, I was telling Harris the other day, man, Klay makes – he'll have open layups sometimes, blow reverses or whatever. Yeah. You know it. You know I'm telling the truth.
He does.
And I'm not knocking Klay because I think he's one of the top 20 players in the league. Agreed. He's definitely in the top 20.
Agree.
But I just – as far as being able to put the ball on the ground and making something happen –
Now, Klay has gotten better throughout his career at putting the ball on the floor, but because that offense, they run at him so much. And, you know, he, 1, 2, 3 dribbles. But I understand, he doesn't have the demeanor of a star. And I question that with DeRozan also.
I feel.
Does he have the demeanor of a star?
I feel.
That's a viable question because, I mean, they play in Toronto. And
he didn't want to go to L.A. And I think that pressure of being in L.A. may have been the reason he didn't go there. Because his makeup might not be that.
But now we'll see how much his shoulders can bear with Lowry out.
And also we'll see down how much Klay turns
with Durant. So, hey, listen. We're going to see what's happening.
Because that's what I was saying today. Exactly. For all the people that feel like Klay is a superstar.
Exactly.
Here it is.
Yeah.
Because now you're going to get 5, 6 more shots a game.
Exactly. G, you had something to say on that?
Well, it was kind of what Jarv already said, that I don't know. I don't think DeRozan would have fit in with Golden State's offense. Because, he can get to the basket, but they need – their offense works better when they have shooters.
Right.
Like they already have, they only have one guy who doesn't. They only have one guard who doesn't shoot threes, and that's Livingston.
Right.
But like they don't, they can't use any more.
He don't even qualify to even go to Golden State right now.
Yeah, he does.
Right? He don't even shoot threes.
Yeah, he does. They got Draymond shooting threes,
but he just punishes small guards.
Yeah,
he does.
I bet you he shoot. He's just using little guards as sights this year.
And I'm gonna tell you like this: DeRozan's development, I believe in a situation will be comparable to a Kawhi Leonard. If he gets into that type of offense, because Kawhi is not a floor stretcher, he's a better 3-point shooter than DeRozan. Yeah, exactly. Than DeRozan is, but he was never a floor spacer. So,
we got 30 seconds. Go ahead, finish.
Nah, so I'm saying, he never was a floor spacer. So, it system does matter.
I love to see him as. Okay, well, right now, like you said, we'll see what he does because Kyle is gone.
Yeah. And we'll kind of have a revisit this. But that ends our first hour of the show. Thanks for tuning in. The next hour of the show, of course, we talking college basketball with our special guest, Sean Tate. He'll be in studio with us. Keep it locked, Sports Roundtable. We in the building, baby.
keep those ears locked to Sports Roundtable on the Worldwide Radio Network.
You're tuned into WWE Hapeville, AM 1100, Worldwide Radio Network.
The opinions expressed during the sponsored programs on this station are strictly those of the program hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of Beasley Broadcast Group, this station, its staff, other advertisers, or agencies.
Hey, SRT listeners, this is G-Money, and I know it's March 1st, but I wanted to share yet another Black History moment with you. Some of the most memorable Olympic moments happened during the track and field events. Carl Lewis, Flo Jo, Bob Beamon, Tommy Smith and John Carlos, Wilma Rudolph, and Jesse Owens are names etched in American Olympic lore. But in 1908, there was the first Black American to win an Olympic gold medal, John Baxter Taylor. Born to former slaves in Washington, D.C., Taylor and his family settled in Philadelphia, where he attended school. At Brown Preparatory School, Taylor became the fastest quarter miler in the country, and as a freshman at the University of Pennsylvania, he became a national champion in that event. In the 1908 Olympics in London, Taylor was a member of the gold medal winning men's medley relay team that featured William Hamilton, Nate Cartmell, and Mel Shepard, in which Taylor ran the quarter mile. In the same Olympics, he advanced to the finals of the 400 meter race. In the finals, he finished last out of four runners, but after teammate John Carpenter was disqualified for interfering with British runner Wyndham Halswell, the race was ordered to be repeated. Taylor and another teammate, William Robbins, refused to race again in protest, leaving Halswell to race alone, winning the gold medal in the only walkover in Olympic history. Tragically, less than 5 months after his victory, John Taylor died of typhoid fever at the young age of 26. In a letter to Taylor's parents, Harry Porter, fellow Irish American Athletic Club member and acting president of the 1908 U.S. Olympic team, wrote, "It is far more as the man than the athlete that John Taylor made his mark. Quite unostentatious, genial, and kindly, the fleet-footed, far-famed athlete was beloved wherever known." This has been a Black History Moment on the Sports Roundtable.
Sports Roundtable.
Which census can you do without?
Probably the presidential census on whether who was going to win, because they didn't know what the hell they were talking about.
I cannot.
The presidential census.
Yeah, the presidential census. That poll right there. Oh, you said census. I thought he said census, like you're taking a poll. Oh, okay. I don't want to do it out. None of mine.
Only on the Worldwide Radio Network.
AHO.
What up?
We must be back with a new season, man.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
1100 AM.
That right? That
and
right.
We got Tiff, Hand in the building. HO and
what
Coach.
Up? What up?
You now about to witness the strength of sports talk radio.
Lego.
I can read your mind. You know it's that time.
Hold up.
Hold up.
Boy, I'm so fly, I feel like Brent Grimes. About to kill the whole season, man. SRT got picks for days. Ain't no telling when I'm all in. Never stall in. Pass the ball in the LBJ. That's the King fam.
Woo.
Been bowling since Space Jam. New logo like the LA Rams.
Oh.
SRT next up. Big dog picks Devin Hester. And that's the word on the street. Tiff got me right like we run in the screen. Real
Woo.
Talk, canine, I know what I mean. We causing the scene. SRT got what you want every week.
I ain't gonna say it.
What up, what up, what up? It's Sports Roundtable, live from the SRT studios overlooking Atlantic Station. We on AM 1100, the Worldwide Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. I am your humble host, of course, HO from Bankhead. Got D Will, the coach. My main man, sports superhero Hancock in the building. G Money behind the glass doing this thing. If you want to reach us, call the show 404-603-8770. First hour was that Clay and DeRozan thing got, and, I think we kind of put something out there with that, Peppers and Neil combo. That was kind of hot. I won't be surprised. G, what you think about that anyway? I forgot to ask G about that.
I mean, it sounds nice, but, if you look at part of the reason why the Falcons lost the Super Bowl is they could not get a pass rush.
Right.
So I would be looking at a pass rusher rather than a DB in the draft.
Lawson, Harris, who you taking, D?
You know who I'm taking if they're available. I'm going with a Bama boy. You give me Ryan Anderson or you give me
Is he healthy?
Hancock.
No, but
it's not bad.
No.
I said Lawson or Harris, and he jumped to Alabama.
Bruh, I heard you. Hey, what's your boy say on Roland? Bruh, I heard you.
Well, I know you weren't going to say Lawson.
Yeah, exactly. Not at all. He gave us But Tim Williams, he looks like he may. They have him 15 and what? 21, 22, something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah. But they saying, well.
So he may not get there, but if he's there. But I like Lawson also. You know, he had a great career at Clemson. You can't deny that. He had a
That's Auburn.
I mean.
That Lawson.
Oh, you talking about Carl.
Yeah.
Jesus. No. No, I'm just kidding. He's a good pass rusher, but you can take him.
What about is Allen a is he tackle or DN? Or how can we classify him?
Depends on the technique.
3-4 in.
Yeah.
I think you can put him anywhere along the front line.
put him on the field.
I'm serious. You can put him anywhere along the front. And just play him situationally wherever you want to. I think he's that good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Depending on technique, wherever you go, if you're going 3-man front, 4-man front, he can play both. He can even move inside on a 3-man front.
That's what I'm saying.
So
you put him anywhere along the line.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah. How high do you think he's going to go?
Top five.
Five.
You got to. I think so. Yeah. He might be third player off the board.
And that's what I was thinking. I was thinking more like top
it's
three.
It's pretty hot, for sure. All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to follow us on social media, please follow us on @SRT Radio on all social media platforms. And you're listening to the hottest sports show on radio, of course. And now I have to introduce a special guest. I think I ought to do a little story first. I can remember when, this is kind of motivational. I can remember at Lifetime Fitness when I used to work out and train. This kid was working locker rooms, restrooms, just all over the place, changing the trash,
paying dues.
When I tell you the dream is real, this kid went from folding towels, changing trash, and all the stuff you don't want to do.
Yeah, man.
In a men's locker room.
Yeah, man. I'm here to testify. It's true.
And now he is probably the hottest dude on 92.9 right now because March Madness is here. 92.9's own Deshaun Tate. Thanks for stopping in, my man.
Check is in the mail, baby. Check is in the mail. It might not be a whole lot printed on that sheet, but the check is in the mail.
There you go. Deshaun, man, how's it going, man?
Man, I'm outstanding. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, man. Hey, listen, I mean, we talked, man, a long time ago. And then back then, you were still doing a little radio. I know you used to hoop a lot with your guys, but you were still doing a little radio back then.
Indeed.
Trying to get on and things of that nature. And, you know, and we talked. We shouted at each other. I was letting you know what I was doing and things of that nature. And look at us now.
I know, man.
That's crazy.
It's unbelievable to
it's
be
crazy,
honest.
It's crazy, baby.
It is.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
And that's
crazy.
That's why I get so excited and so amped up about it. Because we got a story to tell that come behind it. A lot of people, they don't see the legwork.
Exactly.
They're just going to see the success. They're just going to see what come with it.
I agree.
And I'm not one to brag, boast. There's still a whole lot more to go.
Yep.
So a lot more work, a lot more grind, a whole lot of just everything. But you better believe there's a lot of sleepless nights.
Yep.
There's a lot of researching, a lot of reading, a lot of writing. Baby, come on, it's time to go and go to bed. And it's like, no.
Yeah.
Come on, it's halftime. No, because I got to know what they're talking about, even though it's halftime, too.
Yeah.
Got to grind.
Yeah, man.
Got to grind. Thanks for coming in, man. But right now, we about to jump into the second hour, and we go spend this whole 40 minutes on college basketball.
Love
and
it.
Some NBA. So, G, let's get to this second half of this Sports Roundtable discussion.
I ain't know they still talking.
The round table discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it!
Are you really bumping tonight, ain't it? G-Money,
bad man.
Yes, sir. Sports Roundtable Discussion, sponsored by Big Boy Cigars. If you're into some cigars and you want a smooth, easy, tasteful stick, check out Big Boy Cigars on Facebook. Like the page. You can also holler at me. I am the president of Big Boy Cigars. You know how we do it. Think big, drink big, smoke big. Big Boy Cigars, always. All right, Deshaun, we just go get straight into it. Let me warn you, okay? College basketball guy, college basketball on the fence.
Okay.
Here, rather watch the pros.
Not on the fence. Just say, I don't respect.
You ain't in the backyard.
I don't respect all the grind that I don't respect because I don't think they grinding out there no more.
Okay.
That's what it is. I don't think the college game is grinding like it was when I was growing up. And Saturday afternoon used to be must-see TV in college basketball.
All right. That got started. Back first on. Question.
Keith Lee, baby. Let's go back to Mississippi.
Andre Turner.
Let's go to Andre Turner, baby.
We're going to change that mentality.
Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
All right, Deshaun. Mediocrity or is it parity in college basketball?
It's a little bit of both.
Okay.
I say it's a little bit of both. I mean, because when you're looking at how much different the game is now in comparison to the way that it used to be played, I mean, everything now is you got guys that want to play together. We're just, as youth, guys are just kind of going off of what they're seeing at the next level. When you see a lot of guys at the next level, maybe 20 years ago, that wanted to be rivals with a lot of the other guys, guess what? You say you're going to Kentucky. I'm not going to Kentucky with you. I'm going to Duke. I'm going against you.
Right.
Two blue blood programs, totally different. Now you got guys, as you see in the NBA, as guys is coming up and they see it in the NBA, they
LeBron
pairing,
culture.
They pairing up. They pairing up. Guess what we doing now at Kentucky? We pairing up. Same thing at Duke and just the same as the other programs. And that's why I respect the guys who are deciding. It's even happening now even in high school.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Where you have guys that are saying, forget about just going to your typical public high schools. Guys are going prolific prep. Everything's prep school now.
IMT!
Things are just completely changing now. The whole dynamic of the game is completely changing. And that's why I respect the guys who still want to continue to go to their public schools right in the middle of the hood or wherever it may be, and guys that want to commit to schools and that doesn't have all kind of banners hanging up in the rafters. They kind of want to go do their own thing. They got one here in Atlanta, a guy by the name of Colin Sexton. I'm not sure if you heard of him. Pebblebrook.
He signed with Alabama.
Signed with Alabama. And I respect it because he wants to make his own legacy. He wants to do his own thing. I can't remember the guy's name right off, but there's another guy who's going to Western Kentucky next year, and he's a top 20 recruit.
Yeah,
Western.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Western
he is a top Kentucky. 20. Yeah, he is a top
Hilltoppers.
20.
Hilltoppers. Yeah. So from that standpoint,
but
I
you know who the coach is over there. And
oh,
Stan's Bear.
Of course.
Come on, D-Wing. You know how that is.
Ex-Mississippi State.
Exactly.
I understand that. And I understand you talk about the clicks and everybody and whatever they're clicking up in the pros. I understand that. But what I'm talking about is ballers. And I don't see them the way everybody else is seeing them. Now, Lonzo Ball the other night, and I told Harris this the other day, I finally saw what everybody else was talking about when I watched him against Arizona. Didn't have a spectacular game, but I saw the floor generalship. I saw him be able to see. He was seeing things before they happened.
Right.
He was making passes and people unexpectedly, like, oh, the ball's here. So that's what I'm talking about. I don't see players. I see a lot of guys with a lot of names, but the games aren't as big as what their names are. But I think it's a lot of talk and whatever, and I don't see it.
You know what you're missing, Ohan?
Tell me, to be honest. I'm missing it.
Because you're used to 3- and 4-year players. Those guys that you watched develop
at least
freshmen.
2 years.
Exactly. You watched them develop, and by the time they became juniors and seniors, they were the big names, and they had developed into the player you wanted to see. The players that are there that actually do that are still there. It's just the big-time players aren't there anymore. You still got kids that go 2 and 3 and 4 years, Damian Lillard type.
Josh Hart.
That stay and become better and get better and still going to have good NBA careers.
But those are far and few between because we see now, when you stay 4 years now, most of the time.
It's a detriment.
It's a reason you're there 4 years, you know, honestly.
It is.
I mean, we look at the boy that's at Sacramento now. They went, was at New Orleans.
The kid Ivan Rabb out of California, he stayed 2 years and his stock hadn't dropped much. He's still a
2 years. I understand.
Yeah,
I can deal with 2 years in college. But what I'm saying to you is, a lot of these kids, you know, I think it's more name than substance when I see them play. I mean, honestly, it's just the truth. I mean, name your top five. I mean, the Kentucky, yeah, they got Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox. Both of those, to me, are legit when I watch them play. I see them going to the next level and playing.
Well, let's get to that because that's one of the questions.
Go ahead.
So let me get to this next question real quick. All right, Deshaun. March Madness, this is your baby. March 1st is today. Right now, with some mediocrity and some parity, who do you actually trust in March as a team? Which team do you actually trust?
I love this March Madness stuff so much that I know enough to know, and this is just being real, that nobody...
Boom.
When you say trust,
yeah.
Boom. That's what March Madness is all about.
Yeah.
Because that team that you think you can trust to not just go to the Final Four but got the ability to win the whole thing, you'll see them losing the first round. And you know what? The consensus, including myself, and not just because I'm a homer, probably the biggest Michigan State fan you'd ever meet. Bigger than Magic Johnson, probably.
Uh-oh. Yeah, he big time Michigan State. I'm sorry,
but they showed last year. No matter how good you may look, or whatever the case may be, you can lose in the first round to a Middle Tennessee State or somebody. Mm-hmm. So as far as trust, I don't think they're. If I had to say going into the month of March, it's probably Kansas. Kansas is probably the team when you're looking at all across the board. When you're looking at. And this is another one, maybe not one I can trust as much, but I think that they're right there from a talent standpoint, coaching, talent, the whole nine is UCLA. Between those two, I mean, it's right there because the thing that Kansas has the edge on with everybody else, they have the ability to be able to coach. This guy, Bill Self, didn't just win 13 consecutive regular season championships because it didn't make it look cool. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. But do you think the conference is kind of suspect?
Right now, there's not a team, regardless of a conference. There's not. We thought Gonzaga was the best. A lot of people thought. Not we thought. A lot of others.
You missing us?
But people who wasn't as smart thought.
Yeah. But let me ask you this, because we're talking about a candidate. When a team can win a conference that many years in a row, to me that tells me that the conference is kind of wet.
Absolutely
not. It has to be. It's just like an NFC and an AFC East. New England runs that conference because the rest of the teams are garbage.
Let me explain something to you. We saw Rick Barnes over at Texas brought in probably close to being just as good as talent as Kansas has had.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about you name it. You go back and you look. Over the last 10 years, Texas has been right there. They've had really good teams that got up to number one team. Don't forget all this. LaMarcus Aldridge, he was there too.
I know who
Tristan
I was there.
Tristan Thompson, all these guys.
I understand
Kevin
all that.
Kevin Durant, you name it.
I
Augustine,
understand.
The same thing with Baylor. Baylor has had a whole lot of really good talent too. West Virginia has had some really good talented teams as well. You've got teams.
But one thing stood out to me, what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Barnes was at Texas.
Right.
And he brought in all that talent.
Stole a whole lot of money, too.
That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying to you is, okay, well, maybe it's the coaching. If I'm saying, it's not about, everybody pretty much probably going to have good talent.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But it's something wrong when one team can dominate a conference for that many years in a row. Do you agree with me on that?
I think it's something right with one team.
So you don't think
I think one team is doing the right thing. They got a winning recipe. And they didn't just happen to be doing this coming out of nowhere. I mean, they doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're a top five blue blood program.
But you just told me it was blue chips everywhere.
I'm not saying that it's not, but they're not getting them all. Think about it. What's excusing Kentucky in the terrible SEC basketball conference from doing? What's excusing them from doing what Kansas is doing? Nothing.
They pretty much up there.
Coach, but they're not doing it. They're not making it happen. He has one national championship with all that talent. He's only got one as well.
That's my point. What I'm saying is, if he's dominated that conference, but he has one title.
Tournament. That tournament's so different.
But that's March. That's March. That's
one of those. So the same thing with Calipari pretty much dominates the league.
But he hadn't dominated that conference as
such. Not like Kansas. So that's what I'm saying is, you tell me Kentucky's talent is not as good as Kansas?
Well, my thing is this.
So if Kansas is dominating that conference, but they're not winning titles?
Well, what I'm saying is this. When I was comparing to Kentucky and Kansas, I was talking about from a 13 straight consecutive regular season championship.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Now, we are talking about something different. We start talking about NCAA tournament. Sure, he only Bill Self only has one. Calipari has one. Tom Izzo has one. But who besides Coach K? Roy Williams has two. Who besides Coach K? How long has Jim Boeheim been coaching this team? Mm-hmm. 50 years?
And that's my 40? Point with the modern game is what,
you see
I'm,
what I'm saying?
Saying.
So there ain't many people that's on Coach K's level and being able to bring three and four a national championship.
Right. And that's all I'm saying. This, to me, college basketball, and it might be because of the revolving door. Mm-hmm. And I just think that these kids are just coming. It's like AAU all over the place to me.
I don't go there. It's not that. That's a cop. That's a cop out, man. That's a cop out.
You just got to
blame
telling
something.
Me. You just got to telling me that all it is everybody clicking up, and they're getting the best team. What are they doing? AAU stack these teams, right?
They're pretty much doing
it's the same thing.
But you have so much. You have so much talent. All over the place. You're talking about AAU, that's a different landscape than what college basketball
No, I'm talking about, but we're talking about the structure. We're talking about getting together as a group, the best players, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And AAU does the same thing. They get the best players on these teams, and they go out and compete.
Well, we also see some teams that aren't getting the best players that make runs to the Final Four as
plenty,
well.
Plenty, every year.
You've seen Butler do it back-to-back years.
And what's the one thing about those teams?
As far as what do you mean?
What's the
senior leadership?
But that
goes back to his point, though. That goes back to his point when we were talking about Kansas. Kansas has a veteran point guard, and they have the young studs also.
And that's what's making my point about the quality of the game. That's why I think when it gets down to the point, what I'm saying is the quality of the game is not there.
Well, if you're going to say that, the quality of the NBA game
is
down.
It really is.
Everybody doing the same thing in the NBA. You know that. It's the same system. Everybody moving around.
But they scratch each other's back. So if the college game suffers, that means the NBA game suffers because they got young players.
All right, next question. Which team did you absolutely, absolutely without a doubt, just don't trust going into March?
Ooh. I obviously don't trust Gonzaga for a
reason.
For a reason. I didn't get that from nowhere. First of all, because I'm not sure if I was really clear. First question was we was talking about which teams do I trust,
right?
Mm-hmm. Right, and I didn't mention that Kansas is one of them.
Right.
But there's two teams that if they make their way into the NCAA tournament, I'm not saying that they're gonna win the whole thing, but you never want to doubt them. That's Duke and that's Michigan State because this is when they come to play. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They've been down lately, but when it comes to as far as not trusting, Gonzaga has given me a reason not to trust. I didn't get that from just nowhere. Right. They were the original. Don't forget, they were the original Cinderella slippers to begin with Casey Calvary and Dan Dickow dating all the way back to 99.
Pull it out.
99. Okay, and they haven't worn that Cinderella slipper since. Since mm-hmm. then, we've seen Butler do it twice. Mm-hmm. We've seen VCU do it once. Mm-hmm. We've seen George Mason do it.
Right.
But we haven't seen Gonzaga do it. If there's going to be a year for them to do it, this will be the year. But I've said that before. So this feels like that it's a movie that I've watched before. I don't think I could trust Baylor. I don't think I could trust Baylor. I know Cincinnati's been up for the most part. They've been a little down in comparison to where they've been the first probably 10 to 15 weeks. But I don't trust Cincinnati like that. So between Baylor, Cincinnati, and Gonzaga. By far Gonzaga.
How you feel about Oregon?
I like Oregon. Oregon can make a Final Four run.
I'm with you.
I don't know if they can win a national championship, but when I think, and I don't know where your brothers is from, but I don't want to turn this into a regional thing with anybody that's listening. But on the West Coast, it's a different brand of basketball that, to me, in my own personal opinion, tends to be a little on the softer side than they do it in a lot of other places.
You fit right in here, man.
So with that said, the difference with Oregon in comparison to UCLA as well as Arizona, they are the toughest team on that West Coast. They are a very deep team, but they can also be out-coached.
Yeah. I just think they got a player – and Dylan Brooks.
They do.
That I love.
They do.
Because he is one of those just get the blood in your mouth and let's go.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I like about that. I really like about
him. I agree with you on that, but I don't know. I just don't know how skilled he is to be able to make that carry. You know, he's a good player who makes big shots. He's dynamic. He's really athletic. But is he a player that can carry you to a national championship? I don't see that type of skill out of him.
All right, hold on. We got a caller. Again, Deshaun, you bringing callers in. Somebody want to call and talk to you.
Uh-oh. Hope that's a good thing, right?
I hope so.
I ain't been in radio that long. We're about to find out.
All right, caller. This Vincent. What you got, man? This Sports Roundtable.
Yeah, how you doing this evening?
What's happening, man? What's going on?
Yeah, I got two. First of all, I got a question for Mr. Watson. Not Mr. Watson, but Mr. Deshaun.
Okay.
I got a question for him, and I agree with the young man that he said something that's very evident. College basketball is not a must-see thing now, as it was back in the day. When you had Akeem Olajuwon, Clyde Drexler, Daryl Griffin.
Come on now.
The great Louisville team.
There you go.
You had Phil Ford in North Carolina, Walter Davis, Michael Jordan. Hey. Even the Louisville teams with Charles Jones, Lancaster Gordon.
There you go.
Billy Thompson.
The mobile.
And then, of course, the young man must be from Memphis because he mentioned Andre Turner, Keith Lee, Baskerville Holmes, Lance Finch,
come
Ronnie
on now.
Robinson.
Talk about it.
That was must-see TV, William Belford.
My
but
man.
Then, Sean, I want to ask you a question, man. I just heard you talking about the Oregon Ducks. That's going to be my pick out of the West. I think they're a very deep team, and I think they're well coached, and they've been very consistent over the last 3 years. I'm going to hang up, but I love what the young man said about college basketball back in the day. It's not must-see TV right now. But back in the day, you ran home to see them players. I mean, we're going to go back to Oscar Robertson, David Thompson, Bill Walton. You feel me? Marcus Johnson.
I feel you.
UCLA, Gail Goodrich, Walt Hazard.
Vince, you got
CTV.
Vince, you got this man.
Y'all got a great show.
Appreciate it.
Vince got this man in here closing his eyes.
My man.
Hey, but listen. Vince, he not that. He said a young man.
Yeah,
he ain't that young.
Because he ain't nobody in this decade.
I'm gonna say
he ain't that young. He talking about the young man who missed.
Exactly, yeah,
he ain't that young.
I got a feeling Vince was just trying to be respectful, man.
Exactly. But go ahead and talk about Oregon because I'm pretty sure we was on the Oregon thing, and we gonna go ahead and finish the
Oregon. Don't forget, man. Oregon was. You going back to 1939, they ain't won national championship since then. That was the very first national champion.
Yeah, right.
To begin with, was the Oregon Ducks. But that's the problem that they have. They got the talent. The talent's coming all the way back around full circle to the West Coast anyways.
Right.
We talking about DeAndre Ayton and these number one and number two guys that's coming into college basketball next year.
Mm-hmm.
That's the number one guy. Mm-hmm. That's an Arizona commit. Then you got a Michael Porter Jr. out there on the West Coast now.
That's the name I told you.
Yes, sir. That's playing with
going
kid.
To Washington.
Is that the one that's playing for the dude who's playing for Portland?
Correct.
Yeah. Brandon Roy.
Brandon Roy's coaching. Yeah. Right.
So the West Coast is coming around, but and I don't think nobody's really doubting the talent, but we do doubt the physicality for a reason. We do doubt the coaches for a reason. When you talk about Dana Altman, Sean Miller.
Mm-hmm.
And Alford?
Yeah.
That's the issue. If either one of those three teams lose, let alone lose early in the tournament, it's going to be because they got out-coached. It's probably not going to be because of the talent, and it might be because of the talent.
Okay.
Not early. If they lose early, it's not because of the talent. It's strictly because of coaching.
All right, before we move to the next question, I got an email since you're talking about coaching. And I hate to put this brother out there like this.
Yeah, you put him out there. That's what we do.
But why is John Thompson III still have a job?
Oh, he dead.
That's the email bag. That's the email I got. Why does he still have a job at Georgetown?
His dad made that program. But he's not the only one. I mean, Tom Crean still got a job in Indiana right now. Think about it. Indiana was arguably, if not in the top 10, right there on the brink, I want to say AP preseason.
We talked
sitting
about
at number 11.
Exactly.
The only reason he still has a job today, as in this year, is because they won the regular season championship out of the Big Ten last year. Mm, but prior to last year, they lost the exact same amount of losses that they have right now with 14 of them. So he's right back on the hot seat and probably shouldn't have never got up off of it.
Exactly.
Wow.
But as far as going back to what you were saying about Georgetown, it can't be anything more than that. It has to be his dad. You're losing to DePaul. Yeah. There's only 351 teams in college basketball. They're one of the worst. They stink.
Do you think it has anything to do with the kind of offense that he runs? Because they still run the Princeton offense.
They run some of, but some of that has been interchangeable because they realize that that's not working.
Right.
So guess what? I mean, heck, we talking about Princeton done got away from that and got back to winning since. Princeton is there's only two teams in college basketball right now that is undefeated in their conference. That's Vermont. And Princeton in the Ivy League. So Princeton has come back around full circle. They're not getting the talent. They've got away from their own offense. It's named after them and started winning again. So if they're still running that out there in the nation's capital, then we have a whole different kind of issue on our hands. But it's his dad.
Yeah. Do you also believe that it's a little bit of where we're butting heads at now of the old school guys wanting that program to be what it used to be? Has that program lost its luster and it's just the program is no, they can't get the recruits to be, because we know it's hard to get in academically, but Duke still gets the greatest players. Is Georgetown just no longer that type of program that can garner that type of attention?
I'm not going to say it's not, but I'm not sure that it's going to be John Thompson being at the head of it in order to get it back there. If we was talking about Shaka Smart bringing in something new and youthful, maybe. Not even that it has to be a black coach. But it's not even Georgetown that's the only program that's not the way it used to be. A lot of programs aren't anymore. And most of them just happen to be in the Big East. St. John's aren't what they used to be anymore.
Since you mentioned Shaka, how long does he have left in Texas?
I think he has his second year?
Yeah.
I say give him until the end of next year and evaluate.
Do you think he will get that, though?
Well, with the way that it was looking with the football coach,
that's my point.
Probably not. Yeah,
that's
my point.
Because he's brilliant. He got some studs down there.
No, and he's getting some good recruits. I mean, they're probably the most underachieved program this season.
What's the big kid?
Well, I don't know about that. I might have
Jared Allen, yeah. I want to say. They've got a good program. I mean, that's a whole different animal out there. But the good thing is that because it's primarily a football program, they'll extend you a little longer if you're a head coach for a basketball program and you're not necessarily winning. But I think easily he should be able to be given, if not a full recruiting year of 4 years, for him, for other reasons, it won't get that to be that long. I think he's deserving of 3 full years.
You talk about underachieving. I said before the season started, Arizona is loaded with talent.
Sure.
I mean, absolutely loaded. And they lost a recruit to overseas. That's Terrence Ferguson, who was coming in with Alonzo Tajir.
And Lori Markin, don't forget him.
Yes. Yeah. So, even though they're top five now, but to me, with all of that talent, to me, they should have been clear cut, better team. Like, Arizona here, everybody else there. Could that just be that West Coast thing that we talked about, or could it just be the coaching that we mentioned?
Again, probably both. I mean, when you're looking at it, they still have a very good, like you said, Arizona's not a bad team. They were just ranked number 4 in the country prior to yesterday. And they've slowly been losing some guys from time to time going into the NBA. So I know we talked a little bit about Alonzo Trier, who's just coming back recently to finish up. In addition to Lori Markkanen, who, man, I'm talking about a 7-footer that can shoot the ball like that. I mean, he can't defend it the way I would really like him to, but they don't do that in the Pac-12.
or in the NBA.
or in the NBA. The guy from here, I believe Kobe Simmons is a good player.
He's that's coming out the bench. Well.
And matter of fact, one of the starters from UCLA, TJ Leaf, spurned Arizona to go over to UCLA. So they're getting it, but like I said, again, it's the coaches, man. Like, coaches are realizing that they can keep their jobs a lot longer if they're able to bring in top-notch recruits versus their expectations of winning. And we see that with Lorenzo Romar.
That's deep. All right.
Sean Miller shouldn't have cut Leaf, and he would have stayed at Arizona.
Yeah. That's
he cut him on the USA team.
That's probably what happened. Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Good point.
A team that was surprised in March.
That will surprise? Mid-major-wise?
Any team. Hell, it can be Georgia State.
Don't go there.
Well, they got to win their conference tournament.
Yeah.
There's a couple.
Like a West Virginia. See, like, that pressure in March. They 1-3-1 press. Everybody can't prepare for that, especially on the second day.
That is true.
The first day, you got a week to prepare. But that second day?
They don't pressure the ball a lot, but it's something about them to me that's missing.
I'm going to tell you one thing. Like, what do some of those teams that pressure the way that they do defensively like that, what happens when they get pressure?
They turn it over.
Mm-hmm.
They end up beating themselves. I mean, we just watched them beat themselves. I don't want the city. I don't want to push the buttons of the city.
Do it.
But I heard a couple people say that West Virginia basically pulled in Atlanta Falcons there in Lawrence, Kansas.
I don't know if you should have done that.
Last week.
You
told me to speak it.
Yeah, we good.
If it looked like that.
And that's what it was.
But realistically, those teams are the teams that are going to have issues because they find it really hard to score. That also being Louisville, that also being that BCU still plays the same way they do. I think there's another one that I can't quite put my finger on right now. But the good thing that West Virginia have going for themselves this year versus previous years is that they're not just on defense. They're one of the top ranked scoring teams in the country. Actually, behind UCLA, I want to say they're in the top five.
Wow. So are they getting their points off the turnovers, or are they coming down in sets, getting the money, or what? How is it working?
A lot of them are coming in from a turnover standpoint, and they don't really have any top name talent or anything like that. Obviously, the good thing they got going for them is that they're not going to be out coached.
But let me ask you that. So, what if they play a team that values the ball a lot and plays and runs their sets and does? Will that limit them and hurt them in the long run? Because if they're getting their points basically off of up-tempo turnover, they're going
to
be
The other team I was thinking of, and to your point, just like what you were asking me, yes, that can happen. Because if they run up on a Louisville, they're having problems. If they run up on Virginia, a team who doesn't care if they can beat you 7-6, they're good with that.
Yeah, that's what
they're cool with that. Another one that values the basketball that are just structured, fundamentally sound, basic basketball. I call them the San Antonio Spurs of college basketball, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Guys that are ones that are disciplined.
Ethan Happ.
Yeah.
Caney.
Yeah.
Is there a clear cut, like, best player in college basketball today?
Best player all around? I think you have two on one team, to be honest. Mm. I think between Frank Mason and Josh Jackson, like, Josh Jackson has the tools. That kid's a pro, and he's just getting better. He's showing you he's getting better. Mm-hmm. I like them. I mean, this is a year for some really this is the difference. Yeah, you're going to have a lot of freshmen that are going to be hyped that you were just talking about earlier when we were beginning the show, but you can't really see what they're going to be at the next level, or there's a lot more uncertainties than there is the other way around. But you have a lot of good freshmen who I think can give you some really promising things at the next level between Lonzo Ball, Markel Fultz. Most people are sleeping when he's up playing out there in Washington. Dennis Smith Jr. is an awesome guard out of NC State. So there is quite a few. Caleb Swanigan, I think, is pretty good out there at Purdue, who's a double-double machine. Obviously, I think it's Frank Mason's award to lose.
Last night when they came back on Oklahoma, probably sealed the deal. But I think Josh Hart was kind of like the front runner for the player of the year. We want to talk about that.
Saw him early against Notre Dame. He had a real good game early in the year, but I hadn't seen him since.
I think he's a San Antonio type player.
Yes, he is.
I think he's a San Antonio. He can really fit into those type system. Caleb Swanigan for Purdue absolutely did the right thing by coming back.
Sure.
I mean, he's top five all the way. The kid from Gonzaga, the transfer from Washington to Nigel Williams Goss. Yeah. Well, I mean, what you think about his game?
I'm not a huge fan.
Right.
At all. I'm more riding the bandwagon of Jonathan Williams, who I think is a Memphis guy, I want to say.
Okay.
Who is a transfer from Missouri, actually. Okay. He's a very good he's really solid. He's really solid. If you're banking on Williams Goss to lead you, we're about to get ready because it's March 1st. Mm-hmm. We're about to see the same old Gonzaga. If that's who they're banking on, we're about to see the same Gonzaga that we're used to seeing.
I think Gonzaga is one of those teams when something is expected from them, I think it's a problem. You know, back when they would surprise people and come in, it was more of a thing about them and say, man, watch out for Gonzaga, and they came out of nowhere. But I think that's one off. With them being a lead dog, I don't think that is good.
The change of narrative just a slight bit from players to coaching. With Mark Gottfried being let go at NC State already, being told you're going to be fired at the end of the year, but having to continue to coach throughout the season.
Choosing to, rather.
So what do you think is the state of coaches and their security throughout a season? Because you don't see that much in college basketball, a coach getting let go mid-season. So what security does – you saw Calipari come out and make the statement, if you get rid of me mid-season, you're going to pay me $3 million. So what do you think the state of coaches is right now in college basketball? Because we have talked a lot about it.
First of all, I don't think nobody really has the kind of pull. Very few people have the kind of pull that Calipari has to say that, let alone actually follow through with it. Mm-hmm. But you have to win on this level. Like we were just talking about Lorenzo Romar. You have to win on this level. And if you're not winning, you're cut. Unless you're bringing in that top talent. The expectations are not high at certain schools, obviously Washington being one of them. At NC State,
I think around the corner.
Yeah. I mean, you're trying to keep up with those two. And I mean, to be honest with you, Wake Forest is either right on your heels, or they have surpassed you already in the standings at this point. So yes, he is getting a good recruit in Dennis Smith Jr. That clearly didn't help him out a whole lot. I'm just really disappointed in the fact that four of the last 5 years they made the NCAA tournament, and all of a sudden it's like they're letting him go. It's a bit disappointing because Mark Gottfried is actually a pretty nice guy.
Yeah, he is.
But nice guys aren't going to cut it.
Eight
wins in the ACC in 2 years. That's what got him cut.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that for sure. I mean, it's really tough because it's ACC basketball. If this was somewhere else, then we might be having a different conversation. It wouldn't surprise me the least bit. Not a surprise. When I say surprise, it wouldn't be surprising me if, I mean, Danny Manning's not going to be able to hold on to that job. I mean, how much longer does he really have? You know, so.
Mark Fox in Georgia. How much time are you going to give him?
Yeah, the difference – well, football school. And that's a good point. But we are also talking about a football school, a football conference. And Georgia, the unfortunate part about it is with him being on this hot seat like this, he does have expectations that are relatively high. I'm sure that Josh Pastner's not helping his situation, Mark Fox's situation very much right now.
Yeah.
But Georgia is arguably the – most successful basketball program in the last handful of years, not named Kentucky. So, I mean, Florida has fallen off the map. I mean, just about everybody.
LSU. So,
yeah. I mean, LSU couldn't even make it into the NCAA tournament with the number one pick.
Right. And see, that's what I wanted to circle back to when we talked about Smith at NC State and them not being able to build around him because he's gone after 1 year.
Right.
So those institutions, we talked about everybody grouping up and going to these schools. If you don't get a gaggle of players that can play and make a run in the tournament, you might not get that next because they're going to all be gone.
That's why it's so critical to get a package deal.
It's right. So that's what I mean about at NC State. if he just got Dennis Smith by himself, it's not going to help. He's got to go out and be like Calipari and get three or four of the top players.
Or one another option is that you can win, even though I understand it's a different conference and a different level of basketball, you can do it the way that Mark Few has been doing it. Because he's been winning, and sure, we might look at his competition and say they're not playing anybody, but what's keeping them from being in the same category as Portland State, Loyola Marymount, Pepperdine, and everybody else in their conference, that he's able to get transfers and win. Yeah, that's becoming like too. Transfer you almost to an extent. And so that's how they're doing what they're able to do. But I want to propose, if you guys didn't mind, I want to propose a question to you guys. Mm-hmm. Because somebody was telling me, and I'll get into explaining how I feel about it personally, but I was hearing some people say that it was better for Gonzaga to take the loss that they took the other night to BYU, whom, by the way, lost to Utah State. I'm sorry. Utah Valley. So I don't really understand the logic of when someone loses, all of a sudden it becomes, you know, it's good that they took that loss. That loss will be good for them. Yeah, they needed a loss.
You know what has happened is, it helped some team along the way to lose one. They went on to win a championship, and everybody stuck to that narrative.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
It's just like reading the Bible.
Right. So, but the BYU situation with Gonzaga, if I'm not mistaken, I think they've beaten Gonzaga like
the last three years.
They have. So
at Gonzaga.
Some teams, the style makes fights sometimes.
Sure.
And I think maybe BYU just has their number. You know what I mean? I think they just play them because, you know, how you just get, like, I'm not afraid of you. You know, your name don't mean nothing to me.
I come from the era of you never want to take a loss.
Ever.
I do not lose. A loss is embarrassing. Who wants to take a loss? I don't take L's. So for everybody preaching, hey, listen, you need to get the loss early in order to be better later. Everybody get a trophy.
I'll tell you what it is.
Everybody gets a trophy.
It just happened for some team, and they've always, everybody stuck to that little narrative because it happened once or twice.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and that's all it is.
See, so here's my thing in regards to that is, on a personal level, we kind of talked about this as you were introing. I've taken enough losses already.
Thank you.
I don't need to know what no more losses feel like.
I feel you.
But for the people that said it was good for them to take losses and this and that, because I think there's been a lot of that talk in regards to post following that game. Try telling that to Bill Self. If you tell him, hey, just step back and take one regular season conference loss. Try telling that to the UConn women's team and Gino Auriemma. Yeah. Try telling that to Floyd Mayweather and see how crazy he look at you.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying?
But you know what it is? What was that? Three years ago, when Kentucky lost after being undefeated and lost in the semifinal. Remember what happened?
They probably still would have lost that game.
But what I'm saying is that's the I told you so moment.
Oh, yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And everybody goes with that and say, see, if they'd have lost one early, then that's, the pressure would have been off.
Well, the difference is I don't see. Okay. So
not
it's
that
good.
I agree with
no, no, no.
You.
I, no, I understand
I'm just
what you're
saying. That's the
but,
point.
But this is my thing. We can't pick and choose our losses a lot of times in life.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So if you do decide, it's not like somebody can say, okay, the good Lord himself comes down from the heavens and say, if you take this loss tonight to BYU, I'm going to push you all the way to the national championship. Yeah. Yeah. That's not happening.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm not taking any losses. I think it was good for them that they were put in a position where they were in a tight game, but that's not something that you purposely risk. I don't think that there's people doing that. I hope not, or that just goes to show that Gonzaga's going to do exactly what I think that Gonzaga's going to do anyway. But the point that I'm making is that when it comes to that narrative, taking that loss isn't going to make a difference. The same Gonzaga that's going to be going to the NCAA tournament is going to go in. They're going to end up doing the same thing. There's nobody in here that thinks that Gonzaga is going to win the national championship going into the tournament undefeated or not. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that. Neither three of you, the producer behind the board, doesn't think that. Mark Few doesn't even think that his team's going to win a national championship. So the only thing that they can go off of after that loss in the NCAA tournament – is saying, oh, I remember how this feels. We experienced this back in late February against BYU. That's the only benefit that it's going to have for them, is that they're going to be able to remember how it felt.
Exactly. Real quick before we wrap it up, go ahead and give Pashner and Georgia Tech some love, because I know you do go down there and you report for them. Tell us what we are looking to see at Georgia Tech in the next couple of years.
It's all about if they can recruit. Some people say it's about getting guys to stay at home. That would be great if they can get guys to stay home. Bobby Cremins didn't always get guys to stay home. He pulled a lot of guys out of New York City and all over the place. So, but I like the way – I like the direction that it's going. Okay. When Josh Pastner first came in, I'd be one of the first people to say, I don't know about this.
Right.
I really don't. I really, really, really don't.
Yeah, my Memphis people back here saying the same thing.
And I know I get the whole Memphis thing and the whole – because the biggest thing was – he can recruit, but will he be able to coach? I think at Georgia Tech, you're going to need a coach, and you're going to need to be able to recruit. And the benefit that they had out of that, that he had in Memphis as far as from a success standpoint is, yeah, he was recruiting guys, but a lot of those kids are Memphis kids, and they're staying at home to go to Memphis anyway before Josh Pastner, before there was even a Josh Pastner.
He got Shaq.
So, yeah. And them blue chips, yes, he did. But no, at the end of the day, I just really believe that they're going in the right direction. It's taken me by surprise. It's taken a lot of people here in the city by surprise. This is a great time seeing how what the Falcons are doing, and the Hawks just, you know, recently had a 60-win season. And, you know, I mean, it's just the city is pumped up, man. And I think it's a really good time. And there's a kid, I can't think of his name right off at the moment, but he's still undecided on where he wants to attend school. And I believe that he's a senior this year. He's a top 20 recruit from here right within the city of Atlanta. And I think Georgia Tech's success is one of the reasons that he hasn't committed elsewhere, where a lot of these kids will end up going to Arizona, like we were talking about the one kid, or Connecticut or somewhere else. So to give them some love, I definitely have to do that, because I'm not a Georgia Tech fan by far. But I can respect guys that are coming in and just they on their grind the same way I'm on my grind to come in here and do what I'm doing with y'all right now.
There it is. All right, man, we're about to wrap it up, man. Boy, it was a great show, but that caught us basketball. D Will, you in heaven, Wayne.
Hey, man, you know how I do it.
You know what I'm
I love
saying.
I love it. Yeah. Hey, listen, I got a chance to tag team pop on Hancock, so it felt good.
I hope we changed his mind this evening about. See, everybody, he was talking about people aren't going to be watching, but guess what? You better believe March Madness come around, everybody's
going to be watching. That's when you watch. Exactly. Don't get me wrong. Now, that's when you watch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I want to shout out our sponsors, J. Jew's Cars, Big Boy Cigars, and Big Easy Grill. Want to shout out, thanks, Deshaun Tate, for coming through. Let's not make it your last time coming through.
No doubt.
Let's make this, you know, sort of a regular thing, man, because I think we can really hip some people to some college basketball since this is the season. Thanks for the crew for doing their thing. Thanks for G-Money always doing this thing. And thanks for the loyal listeners. Facebook Live, thank you guys as well. All right, Deshaun, what you got? Shout out.
Man, just check out some good college basketball articles, 929thegame.com.
There you go.
Follow on Twitter, at Tate's Take Sports, Instagram, the whole nine. Appreciate you guys for letting me sit in. And if not nothing else, tell them folks, keep chasing those dreams, man. Yeah. Those dreams is real.
Yes, sir.
We turning dreams into reality, and we hashtag dream chasers. So
there
that's
you go. It. All right, Han, what you got?
Hey, look here, man. I want to shout out my son, my oldest boy today, Stephen Hancock the second.
Petey.
His birthday is 24 today.
Hi,
Diddy. Also, Boogie's birthday is tomorrow.
Boogie!
Wow.
So Boogie will be six tomorrow. Shout out, Boogie. Shout out to my nephew, Caleb. His birthday was today. And my dad's birthday was 24, so.
There you go. Pisces Nation.
And shout out to my boy Jalen, man. He had a car accident. He's going to have surgery on the 9th. Shout out to you, son. Keep your head up. Stay strong. We're going to get through it.
There you go.
Hey, get well, youngin. You know, man, follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat. I am Coach K9. I am Coach K as in King and the number 9, man. Also, I want to appreciate Deshaun for coming through and blessing us with that God.
Definitely.
But y'all know I got to give y'all something. Listen, I need everybody to go to Snapchat, Instagram, whatever you like to frequent. Go follow Tierra Yvonne. Go check. Listen, go follow Tierra Yvonne. Y-V-O-N-N-E. O-N-N-E. Go follow her, Tierra. Whew. I just blessed y'all. Listen, I just blessed y'all. Hachu. I just blessed y'all.
Hachu.
Old lady ain't listen. I just want to throw one more thing out there.
I turned my Facebook Live off.
I just want to throw one more thing out there because I couldn't leave here without doing so. Thanks to the caller, Vince, and everybody that's listening. And last but not least, to my mama, man.
There you go.
Yeah, salute, mom.
Absolutely. IG is on you. Shout out.
Shout out to my mom and dad. My mom just went down to see my sister in Augusta. So shout out to my sister and her family.
Whoop.
And if y'all want to follow me on social media, I'm at G Plays It Cool on Instagram.
There it is, man. Deshaun, my man.
No doubt.
That's my man now, man. No doubt. Deshaun brought it in, brought some heat tonight. Listen, man, we'll be back next week. Of course, dropping this sports knowledge as always, man. I want to thank everybody for listening and tuning in. And it's been great, man. That college basketball is something serious. We'll do it again really, really soon. All right, Deshaun, we got to show you how we get up out of here. All right, Han, let's do it.
Boogie, I'm headed home, baby.
They call me coach because I teach you how to ball.
D-T, man, college basketball, let ride.
And this your main man, H-O from Bankhead, RIP Mom, RIP BC. And if you love the show,
tell a friend.
If you didn't,
don't double dribble.
And we out. Peace.